Our God is good, and I praise his name for his providence. It's my joy to be among you, my honor. And I pray that he may be exalted, that Christ may be seen, and you may be encouraged today. To him be the glory. So today I just want to make it you more interactive while I talk. So I want to ask you a favor before we begin. I'm going to be talking about Jacob, the God of Jacob. And I beg you, please, to share. Just tell the person next to you, I am like Jacob. Would you? Now, the God of Jacob is my God. Would you tell that to a person next to you? So please have that in your mind, because Jacob, in many ways, is not the best model for us. However, what we are about to see today, yes, he's a great model for us in what he did right at the moment in which his beloved wife passed after giving birth her second child. So please open your Bible in Genesis chapter 35, and I want to read with you verse from 16 through 20. And the title for the message today is going to be, Not Benoni, but Benjamin. Not Benoni, but Benjamin. So read through with me, and then please join me in prayer in Genesis chapter 35, beginning in verse 16. I read the word of God. Then they journeyed from Bethel, when they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel went into labor, and she had hard labor. And when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, Do not fear, for you have another son. And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, knowing that all good comes from your presence. And we affirm that we believe in your sovereignty, and you are the God who ordained our steps. So in your sovereign will and in your providence, you have decreed it for me, your servant, to open the word of God in the presence of your people here for my beloved brethren and sister, Living Hope Bible Church. You know my weakness. You know who I am. So please come and bless your people and exalt yourself, exalt your name, that Christ may be exalted, that our soul may be healed today in your presence. In Christ Jesus, we pray for Pastor Matt, Pastor Michael, asking that you heal him completely. In Christ's name we pray, amen. A simple question that we usually answer without much thinking can make a big difference. Like, how are you today? Our natural tendency is just to say, I'm fine, without thinking much. But it happens that many times when we think a little bit, we always can find a reason to be sorrow, to be sad. Because dark providence and afflictions are part of our life since we're born. Sometimes we're aware of that, much more aware. But there is a tendency in some moments of our life just to see more the dark side than the bright side. To put our heart more in the dark providence than in the mercy of God that surrounds us. Jacob, right here, is giving us a great example of how shall we respond in the light of a very dark providence. Before we go into the text, let me give you a little bit of the background. Here, Jacob is in the presence of his beloved wife, Rachel, giving birth to her second child. But it's amazing to remember the way in which Jacob met these women. I'm sure that every husband here loves your wife very much. But I really doubt that encounter the first time was like Jacob. The history tells us that when he saw her, he wept and kissed her. I don't think any of us has that kind of encounter with our wife today. But that tells you a lot how much he loved these women all the way through. He really loved his wife. And he loved his wife. And at this moment in particular, he saw his wife die, giving birth the second child. I just want to mention a couple things from the text. But basically, my desire is to encourage you by the grace of God to act like Jacob in the actual circumstances you are going through right now. You may be afflicted because something in your personal life or a relative life or even somebody you don't know. Sometimes we are just depressed and sad for something that happens to a person that we don't know. It's just the world we are living at. This is a world in which there is much sorrow, much affliction. And we are sensitive, and sometimes we depress and suffer so much. It's like one thing after another, after another, after another. So how can we respond when we are in the midst of a dark providence, suffering, something we don't understand in the good, holy providence of our God? First, let us take a look to the circumstances in which Jacob did not grant his dying wife her last desire. Her last desire was to call the newborn Benoni. But immediately he interrupted that and said, not Benoni, but Benjamin. He didn't grant her last desire. I mean, this is very significant. What were the circumstances? First, she was pregnant, waiting for her second child. Motherhood is a beautiful time in which mother, father, grandfather, even neighbors get ready for the new child coming. Is that right? Getting ready, getting the clothes, shoes. And for those days, they didn't know boys or girls beforehand. But anyway, there were not much colors to choose neither. So they were getting ready anyway. And she should be very excited. And Jacob, because of her, also very excited. So the moment arrived in which she was about to give birth to this little new member of the family. And I can imagine Jacob, obviously he was right there looking what was happening. My wife, three daughters were born by C-section. And I talked to the doctor and they allowed me to be there with her. And I really tell you, it's an amazing experience. It's great to be with her. I was praying with her. I was repeating the word of God to her. But I made a mistake. I just want to recognize that right now. I was wearing my glasses. You know what that means? I was here. Her head was here. Her womb was right there. And there was something there she couldn't see there. But because of my glasses, she saw the reflection there. And she never told me, remove your glasses. So she was looking at me and seeing everything there. That was my mistake. But anyway, it was a joy to be with her there. But when she was giving birth, our second daughter, something happened there. It was in a hospital, in a difficult situation, we were financially speaking. And the anesthesia was passing and she was feeling the pain. And in the midst of that, the doctor said, well, and she was feeling, and they said, we don't have more anesthesia here to give her. So I had to run to the room we were, and I brought some anesthesia, and they give it to her. But anyway, the tension you leave there is something that you have to live it to understand it. So you can imagine Jacob under the pressure, her wife giving birth to this little boy, and then at the same time there was something going on, and he feels things are not going as well as before. So maybe he was expecting the worst, but he didn't want to admit it. There were a mix of joy, but at the same time, kind of anguish in the soul. Things are not going well. And the unexpected happened. Rachel was about to die, and he was aware of that. And I don't know if you have ever seen a person die. But it's a very difficult experience. My sister-in-law was living in New York, and she traveled down to the Dominican Republic. And she was so weak and so sick that night. We didn't know what was going on, but she was unable to fix her eyes. When she was like lost, very weak. And they decided to take it to the doctor. Next day, early in the morning, I went to the hospital and I was standing next to her bed, and all of a sudden, everything started to collapse, and she was going and she was dying. And I was there and I was unable to do anything. Even the doctor, he came and he tried to push in her chest and doing things here and there, but nothing was working. And I saw her eye open and she passed. And I will never forget that scene, that moment. So Jacob was exactly seeing that in his beloved wife. And all of a sudden, she says something. It's like there's a silence in the room and everybody's paying attention. What is she about to say? And she says, call him Benoni. That's all she can say. And immediately, the weak Jacob said, not Benoni. No. Call him Benjamin. Now, what did that really mean? We need to find out the meaning of those two names and what is the implication here. Benoni, that's the name she wants to give the new birth. The son of my sorrow. So Benoni is pretty much like sorrow. Benjamin, the song of my right hand, which means my blessing, my helper. So the commentarist, Matthew Poole, say, right hand, it's close, appreciated, useful. It's a comfort. Jacob clearly said, my dear, I cannot give you that. I know you're dying. This is your last desire. But I can't. No, I'm not giving him that name. His name's going to be Benjamin. Now, basically what he's saying, I prefer to call him with the name of a blessing, a name of mercy, a distinction. And that has some clear implication. First, the name she gave the boy was to be a continued reminder of a time of sorrow in this child life and the family life as well. Like Matthew Henry said, her dying lips call her newborn son Benoni, the song of my sorrow. But Jacob, because he would not renew the sorrowful remembrance of the mother death every time he called his son by his name, changes his name and call him Benjamin, the son of my right hand, that is very dear to me, set on my right hand for a blessing, the support of my age, like the staff in my right hand. There is hope in Benjamin, and there is sorrow in Benoni. Instead of remembering with sadness that day, he decided to connect it to a blessing, mercy, our God, merciful God, and his gift. Can you imagine? Let's do an exercise to us right now. Let's do an exercise. What's this boy's first birthday? How would you sing the happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to sorrow. I mean, there is something that is not working there. Is that right? Now, let's say he's in the school, and they're just, you know, making sure everybody's there. And they call Johnny, they call Mary, and sorrow. Everybody's here. Or if he called my son sorrow, would you come here? I mean, forever, that will be a continued reminder of that moment. Now, Jacob said, no. His name is going to be a blessing from God, not a curse or a moment of sorrow, frustration, dark providence. I just want to bring some words of application. It doesn't mean I'm about to finish. Just some people say, application, oh, only 5 minutes more. No. I've just gave you the whole picture. As you see, I have been very much there. I'm going to expand this and bring some other word of God that apply to this and apply to us now. First one is this. We should never stay for a long time in much sorrow. Let me repeat that. We should never stay for a long time in sorrow. I didn't say we should never be sorrow. We certainly will. You know that. You have lived enough, you know that. But the problem is when you stay there, and you stay there, and every day you remember what happened. And the next day you remember what happened. And the next week you remember what happened. And next month you remember what happened. And the next year you remember what happened. And every time you sit with a friend, even a person you don't know in the train, in the bus, in the airplane, you bring that subject again. You stay there. Oh, what happened to me 20 years ago? And then you start crying. No, that's not healthy at all. That's not a blessed thing. I just want to tell you, yes, there is a time to weep. There's a time to be in sorrow. That's why our Lord said in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yes, there is a time to cry with those who cry, but I clearly made the distinction to stay there for a long period of time, or as a way of living. That's what I'm saying. There are people who really love to be sorrow and sad. They are like the professional criers in my country. I'll share with you a little bit of the Dominican Republic. Whenever a person dies in the Dominican Republic and you go to the funeral home, the rich people cry like this. That's all you hear. But the poor people, Oh, you can hear from afar, oh, somebody died. But you know what they do in the villages? There are professional criers, people who get paid only to go to the funeral and cry and move others to cry. And that really works. Like that, there are people who seem to be professional criers for their own. I mean, I'm not against crying. Please, please, let me again say, is that you stay in that mood, crying, sad, in sorrow, as a pattern of life. Like if you have no God who is taking care of you, who is giving you new mercies every day. Yeah, there is a place, there is a moment to be sad, as our Lord Jesus Christ was very sad, and you know that. But you have to overcome that by the grace of God and be able to rejoice in your God always as he commands. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That is true. God gives you comfort to those who are mourned, who are sad. But stay there for a long period of time, no matter what happened, is wrong. And that's what Jacob is teaching us. That is wrong. It's not right. Listen to John Calvin. We know that the ancients, were very desirous of offspring, especially of male offspring. Since Rachel, therefore, does not accept this kind of consolation when offered, we infer that she was completely oppressed with pain. She, therefore, died in agonies, thinking of nothing but her sad childbirth and her own sorrows. From the feeling of which she gave a name to her son. But Jacob, afterwards, listen, corrected the error. For the change of the name sufficiently sorrow shows that in his judgment, the excess of sorrow in his wife was wrong, seeing that she had branded his son with a sinister and opprobrious name, for that sadness is not free from ingratitude, which so occupies our minds in adversity that the kindness of God do not accelerate them, or at least does not infuse some portion of sweetness to mitigate our grief. My brethren, our God is a God who gives comfort, and he is very much into giving comfort, encouragement, and blessing to his children. And Jesus Christ showed once over and over that he was taking care of those who were in sorrow. Remember how he drew near to people and said, "Do not weep, do not weep. Why are you weeping?" But at the same time, the Comforter, this Holy Spirit, comfort us. We must give ourselves to see more than the sorrow and the dark providence to our God and his good providence. Here, the Puritan John Flavel, in his precious book, The Mystery of Providence, make an encouragement to all of us. And this is what he says. He says, "In all your reviews and observations of providence, be sure that you eye God as the author or orderer of them all." And then he quotes Proverbs 3:6. And he calls us to eye the care of God for you, the eye the wisdom of God in the way of dispensing his mercies to you, I, the condescension of God to your request of mercy, I, the design and end of God in all your comfort, I, the way and methods in which your mercy are conveyed to you and the distinguishing goodness of God, among other things. So my call is this. Yes, we will suffer. Yes, we will have dark providence. Yes, there are things that come our way that we were not expecting, we were not planning, things that seems to destroy our life, our dreams. Yes, but at the same time, our God is in control, and he's leading everything for his glory and for our good, even we are not able to see it right now. In that, we should rejoice, because it's always there. There is always, always in the darkest providence, even small light that reflect the goodness of our God toward us. Remember, our Lord was sad. Remember that in Matthew 26. If you can check that in your Bible. To be sad is not sinful at all. But look what our Lord did. I'm talking to you from Matthew 26. Jesus prays at Gethsemane. And if you read verse 38, then he said to them, to his disciples, his closest friend, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Even to death. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of joy. Since he was human, he was in the flesh, he became so sorrowful, even to death. And remember what he did. He gave himself to pray for an hour. And then another hour, repeating the same thing. And then another hour. And the Bible said that he went to the cross, putting the joy in front of him. And I can tell you, he faced the cross with joy. So he is clearly confirming it's not healthy, it's not wise, it's not good to remain in sorrow for a long period of time. Yes, we will face it, but do not stay there. There is always an encouragement in the providence of God for us. There is always mercy for us in the midst of the darkest providence. There is it. Listen what the Bible says. Psalm 32:10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Everywhere we go. Psalm 119:64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. I don't know where you live. I don't know where you work. I don't know what you're going through. But I can assure you this. The mercy of God surrounds you and is wherever you go. Psalm 52:1. The goodness of God endures continually. It's never exhausted. It's always continually. In the middle of the night, in the hospital, wherever you are. Psalm 117:2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And you know Lamentation 3:22-24. His new mercies are continually every morning. That's why the Bible encourages us, listen, to consider the dark providence, but also put next to it the mercy of God. What I'm trying to tell you is that you may say, yes, my relative, father, mother, wife, child died, but by his grace is in the holy presence of God where I'm expected to go and meet my relative there as well. Both truth. And I just want to give you the example. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And please check the balance here. going from negative to positive. And I'm not preaching positivism here. I just want to make that clear. I'm preaching Christianity here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, starting in verse 7. Listen to Paul making that balance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this, listen, treasure in jars of clay. Can you see that? Treasure, jars of clay. He's not saying, oh, we're jars of clay, just sinner, we're good for nothing. No, 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 there is a treasure here by the grace of God. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, check the balance. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Can you see that? Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Can you see that? One thing and another. Suffering and joy. Affliction and mercy. And that's the way we should put it. Do not stay in the sorrow. Do not stay in the dark providence. Do not stay there weeping. Come to the joy of the Lord. There is always joy in our Lord. Now, let me move forward and just bring some words of, self-exam, I may say. What kind of person are you? Are you one of those Christians that nobody knows you're Christian because you are so negative? So negative, you know. I mean, when somebody asks you, hey, how are you? Well, I'm a great sinner. I keep sinning. I deserve condemnation. And, I don't trust myself. And there is nothing I can do. God is sovereign. Or are you one of those who may say, I'm a sinner redeemed by the grace of God? Yes, I live in the world of suffering, but I rejoice in my Lord in every circumstance. I know because I'm a sinner, I will die, but I know as well that I will open my eyes in the presence of my triumphant Savior. Let us seek for that balance in our Christian life. Let us rejoice always, as the Lord says. I'm wondering, what kind of man was Jacob? How could Jacob do that? Can you imagine that? Right when his wife was about to say her last breath desire, called the boy Benoni. He said, no, not Benoni, but Benjamin. How could Jacob, who lied to his father, who was a very weak and sinful man, how was he able to do that? Have you wondered that? I think I have the answer in his own words. Open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 48. This is by the end of his life. Genesis chapter 48. He's blessing the two children of Joseph. And listen what he says, beginning in verse 15. Genesis 48, verse 15. This is what it says. And he blessed Joseph and said, listen carefully, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham, and Isaac walk. The God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, and listen to this specifically, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and then so forth. Who do you think is this angel he refers here? I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Redeemer. And how was Jacob able to do that? Exactly the way in which Paul was able to be content in every circumstance. He said, I can do all things in Christ that what? The same Christ we have. That's why at the beginning I ask you to say to the person next to you, I am like Jacob, and the God of Jacob is my God. Now, would you tell the person next to you, the Redeemer of Jacob is my Redeemer? And I can rejoice in every circumstance. Would you tell that to the person next to you? Because I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. Is that true? I have developed over the year a power to put people to sleep. I'm really concerned about it. And I don't know if I've made it already with you here. Are we agree with that? So, can you rejoice right now in the circumstances you're going through? Can you? Can you see the mercy of God with you right now? Can you just sing in loud voice and say, He is with me and nothing can take away my joy? That's what I really want to hear. Yes, children of God who live a triumphant life, even when they cry, they sing and exalt in joy His God. That is amazing. That for me is wonderful, because it's like we do not deny pain. We do not deny the reality of suffering. It's that we rejoice in the midst of that. We find our God in the fire. We find our God in the pain. We find our God in the bad news of this world because He's sovereign. We find our God in all our suffering and struggle. He's right there. And we rejoice in Him. Joni Erickson Tada, I think many of you know her. She recorded a beautiful song for a movie. And she's one of my heroes, let me tell you. I had the chance to meet her personally and rejoice not only with her, but also with her husband. Her husband is another hero. He decided to marry a woman who cannot make coffee for him, not breakfast. It's amazing, isn't it? One of the things I really enjoy in my life, I say one, just one, is when I need to scratch on my back and say, hey, Daddy, would you please? And she's right there. Oh, thank you. But he can never get that from his wife. But he married her. And this movie, the song is, I'm alone, yet not alone. And I just want you to reflect on that. You may be alone in your suffering, but add, yet not alone. I'm alone, yes. I'm alone by myself. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody does. But I am not alone. He's with me. And this is great. Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16, say something that really impressed my heart. Let me read it to you. It's better from the scriptures than from my memory. I mean, by the way, my memory in English is very bad. But Isaiah 49, listen to that, verse 15 and specifically 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? And what is the answer? No. And the Lord add, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Will you tell the person next to you, the Lord has not forget about me? And now this is the next phrase I really love. Listen to that. Verse 16. Behold, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. We live in an era in which many people have tattoos. God is saying, I have a tattoo in the palm of my hand. And that is you right there. Like the nails in the hands of Christ. And you know what happened in the palm of the hands? It's a very sensitive part of your body. What God is saying, whatever you feel, I feel it. When you're in pain, I feel it. When you cry, I see it. So he's so connected with us. We're not alone. We're not alone. Enjoy this video. I hope be able to present. And I will be done with this. And I will, after this, just have a word of prayer to finish. All right?
I'm alone, yet not alone. God's the light that will guide me home. With his love and tenderness, leading through the wilderness, and wherever so mighty is his shield, for his love is now revealed. When my steps are lost and desperate for a guide, I can feel his touch, a soothing presence soothing presence by my side.
But the Lord can strengthen you right now and open your eyes to see His mercy surrounding you, His promises, His presence. So let us bow down and you be humble and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your grace. Heavenly Father, we are so prompt to complain and not see your goodness toward us. We are so blind to your tokens of love and care as a faithful Father. We repent of that. And we ask your grace. We ask a fresh anointing of your Spirit right now, so we may leave this building singing your mercies, rejoicing in your goodness, your faithfulness, and our triumphant in Christ. To Him be the glory of His church, forever and ever. Amen.